Bridges looking for space. Pocket pass to Misi. Bridges now at the basket and a two-handed stuff.
Big 12 basketball last night as Baylor picks up a win over Texas in Waco, 93-85. Jalen Bridges, a career-high 32 in the win. Baylor now 11-6 in the conference. Mac Asmus had a game-high for the Longhorns as they fell to 19-11, 8-9 with the loss. Of course, Sunflower Showdown and out KU and K-State. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. State tournament week, Dusty, and we'll have three games on the radio for everybody.
Yeah, we're getting prepped for Wednesday. Tomorrow's games first. We'll have the Class 3A state tournament. Wade will be in Hutchinson with the Beloit Trojans, the number one seed facing number eight seed Topeka Hayden. A pregame coverage at 1:40, tip-off at 2 o'clock from Hutch on Wednesday on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Then 1A Division 2, I'll be in Great Bend. Later tomorrow evening, as we have pregame at 5:40, tip off at 6 o'clock. St. John's Tipton, number 7 seed, taking on number 2 seed Axtell, and you can catch all those games again online at katycountry94.com with the audio as well. And then Thursday, the St. John's Tipton Lady Jays will start their state run. They're the 6th seed facing number 3 seed Sharon Springs. Pregame at 7:40, tip off at 8 o'clock from Great Bend coming up on Thursday. So again, for the full schedules for what we're doing broadcast wise, and also for the brackets for the state tournaments, all the schedules for your favorite teams, you can always check out ncksports.com as we're getting prepped again for state hoops.
So I was watching the video, the game of Topeka Hayden Sabetha went double overtime, and I feel better.
Yeah,
I feel better about the matchup after watching that game. I mean, Sabeth had lots of opportunities in that game. Hayden was up by 15. Second half, Hayden only had 14 points second half until they hit a three with 30 seconds to go. Sabeth was trailed most of the game, and then they're up three. And then in overtime, Sabeth was up five with 35 seconds to go. And then they got a three-point play, Hayden, and then Sabeth had a bad turnover. And then Hayden hit a buzzer-beating shot to force double overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sabetha, no wonder it was a heartbreaking loss, as a friend of mine told me, because I went and watched it. I'm like, oh my gosh, they had so many chances. They missed a lot of free throws. Hayden, very fortunate they won that game. I will say, though, they do have different guys that can shoot the three. But I looked at the, you know, Sabetha has good size, but Beloit's bigs are, I think, more gifted and better around the rim and have more range than Sabetha bigs. So I tell you, I think watching this, Hayden, they apply good pressure, man-to-man pressure, and they'll use some full-court pressure. If Beloit handles pressure fairly well and they're able to get the ball inside, which then they're going to, if they establish inside game, then all of a sudden they're going to collapse, and that's going to open things on the outside, I think. Then I like Beloit's chances a lot more after watching that film last night. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win,
yeah,
but I do feel a lot better about it. They have 6'3 guys. They have one guy that's very physical at 6'3, but the other guys I saw that are 6'3 are not. I just don't see them matching up very well against Bryce or Eli, but at the same time, their quickness maybe causes problems for us on the other end. So anyway, we'll talk more about this game coming up tomorrow between Topeka Hayden and Beloit. And then the St. John's Tipton boys have the tough task of playing Axtell, as we talked about yesterday. And then the St. John's Tipton girls have the more favorable first-round matchup than the boys do against Sharon Springs. Just give us a little tease of what you know so far before we really get into it tomorrow.
The Axtell boys are athletic. They're just going to be... I mean, you saw them in football. You know the athletes that they have. They've got the big run going there. They've got a junior in Brandon Smelsley that is going to cause anybody a lot of problems. And, you know, they just got a sophomore, Landon Schmitz, who actually, I think going into state last year, he only averaged like 3 points a game. But he had games where he had, I think, 8, 6, and I think 11 last year at state as a freshman. So he's back after being injured here during his sophomore year, just came back before sub-state. So he's going to be a key for them, and they've got some size, and you know, I don't have all the numbers. I have not gotten any stats yet from them, but yeah, they're just going to be an athletic team and can do a lot of different things. They can shoot. They've got size. They've got pretty much what it takes to put together a really good team that's only lost two games this year in the Twin Valley League. So they're 21-2 as far as Sharon Springs, Wallace County on the girls' side. They did get a player back that didn't play for them at State last year that's a 1,000-point scorer, so they're going to look a little better this year, I think, than they did last year. Richardson is her name, and like I said, Wallace County and the girls' game is further from my mind right now as I'm prepping. So, but it is a matchup where I think St. John's Tipton could have at least a little bit of an athletic advantage in the game, based on what I remember from the post last year from Wallace County. So, but right now, it's still, for me, it's like one of those 50-50 games where you just you go out and play and see how the cards fall, and you know, a lot of different things are going to go into how that game's going to play out. With you know, obviously St. John's Tipton's a team that doesn't want to have foul trouble and things like that. I think that Wallace County Sharon Springs team might be a little bit deeper this year than they were last year, so it'd be interesting to see how that all plays out. Like I said, last year's a tough gauge for me because they played Hanover in the first round, so and I've not had a lot of other experiences with that Sharon Springs team. So they're well coached, I can tell you that.
Yep. Well, we'll talk more about these games coming up tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. But once again, the Beloit boys will play Topeka Hayden tomorrow at 2 o'clock, first game of the day at Hutchinson Sports Arena. Pregame at 1:40. And then the 1A Division II boys will play St. John's Tipton, the 7th seed, against the Axtell Eagles, the 2 seed. Pregame at 5:40, tip-off at 6. And both those games on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Make sure to download the free KD Country 94 app on your smartphones. We are not able to stream Beloit games at State. Thursday, the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays against Sharon Springs, and we'll have that one for you on KD Country 94 on Thursday night, 7:40 pregame tip-off at 8. If you tune in and we're not on the air yet, it just means that things are running a little bit behind at the state tournament sites. All that information and more is posted in CKSSports.com. Coming up in 30 seconds, we preview the Sunflower Showdown. KU losing 2 in a row. Could they lose 3 in a row and 2 in a row at home and lose both games to their in-state rival K-State? We'll discuss.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
I think that they're desperate, maybe, but I think that we're desperate too. So they beat us the last time, and we've lost 2 in a row. So there's no reason why we shouldn't come out and play desperate as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting point of Bill Self brings up. Everybody's looking at, well, K-State's desperate. They have to win maybe to make the NCAA tournament. Well, KU's lost 2 in a row, and they might not be, you know, they know they don't have to sweat being announced on Selection Sunday. So there is a difference. But I do understand what Bill Self is saying is we're desperate to win. We lost our last home game. We've lost 2 in a row. We don't want to be going, and they got Houston on the road coming up Saturday. Mm-hmm. If they lose to K-State tonight, KU's looking at a 4-game losing streak and having to play on Wednesday of the Big 12 tournament and play 4 games in 4 days to win the Big 12 tournament. Now, I don't think the Big 12 tournament's that important to Kansas in regards to, you know, they're not going to win the Big 12 regular season championship. And they got to get people healthy, especially McCuller, to try to make a run in the NCAA tournament. But yeah, he's right. They're you know, K-State's not coming in here red hot, and they are going to be desperate. KU's coming in not very hot, obviously, losing 2 in a row. And here's Jerome Tang on playing KU after those 2 straight losses by the Jayhawks.
Do you want to play them when they're hot? Do you want to play them after a loss? Do you want to be like, there's always like, you really just never want to play them at that place, right? That's really what it boils down to. But at the end of the day, you're playing between a 94 by 50 and the rims are 10 feet high, and it's about the 5 guys that are on the floor at one time, and players got to go make plays. And so we're excited about this opportunity.
That's not true. Nobody's actually measured, but at Allen Fieldhouse, we do believe the opposition's goals are at 10 feet, 2.5 inches. We have no confirmation on that, but if I say it really with strong conviction, I can convince anybody in America that that's true.
They just like kind of gradually change themselves at halftime, too,
yes.
To the other end.
Absolutely. Yeah, then they make adjustments halftime on the goals, and you can go ahead. Measure it if you want. Good luck getting down to the field house on the floor to do that. You know, history's against Kansas State here. Kansas has not lost a senior or a home game, final home game of the season, senior night, since Larry Brown. So we're going back to the 83-84 season. 7:30 is the pregame tonight on Z96.3 Lake. Tip off at 8 o'clock. K-State 17-12, 7-9 in conference play. Beat KU early in the year in overtime in Manhattan, 75-70. KU 21-8, 9-7 in the Big 12. The most losses in the Big 12 since Bill Self has been the head coach at KU. So you're sitting like, oh, the odds are against K-State. Yeah, every streak is bound to be broken, right? So KU's not going to win every single final home game they play at Allen Fieldhouse for the rest of their history, okay? They're going to lose sometime at some point at home in a senior game, final home game of the season. It's going to happen. It's just that most people don't think it's going to be tonight, even though KU is struggling a bit, scuffing a bit, lost their last two. Now, if McCullough plays tonight, I expect KU to win. If he doesn't, I think KU still wins, but they're going to have to play extremely well. I think KU can take a little bit more out of their last loss than K-State can in regards to getting McCullough back, and they were right there with Baylor. Cincinnati is not the level that Baylor is. At the same time, K-State can go in with some confidence going, we beat KU before. KU's struggling a little bit right now, and there is a distraction of senior night, although that has not been a problem for Kansas in the past. And as Jerome Tang said, we're going to approach this as a Sweet 16 game. We need to win. We need to win. We got this game. We got Iowa State. KU is now ranked 14th in the country. But what are the odds that Kansas is going to lose two straight games at home and three straight games overall? Because if K-State is able to beat KU tonight, that's what would occur. KU, if they lose tonight, would be three straight losses, two straight at home, and get swept by K-State during the regular season. I don't think there's too many people that think that's going to happen. Not saying it can't. Just saying that all those things are against K-State tonight.
Yeah, I always say, like I said yesterday, I'm never going to say it can't happen.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's possible.
Everything is not in Kansas State's favor going into this game. Well, let's just put it that way. I could see this being a lot like a lot of the road games that K-State's had this year, right? Like, because the aura of Allen Fieldhouse is there all the time. It seems to help out if Kansas has like just an unreal team, right? Like if you get down early at that place, you don't come back for K-State in the past. I could see
now
them.
BYU was down 12.
Yeah.
The last game at Lawrence and KU lost.
And this is why I'm going to say the next part of this. Mm-hmm. This year, if they get down 10 to 12 points, I could see them making their classic late game run here, right? Mm-hmm. Get back into the game, but don't think they're going to overtake them. It's been a common theme for K-State on the road this year. Get down early. It happened to BYU, since he brought up BYU, right? Happened out at their place. It just happened at Cincinnati.
Yes, it did.
You get down by 13, and then you make this storming comeback in the last 5-6 minutes of the game. BYU, they got, I think, within three, maybe it was one at one. I don't know what it was. It's been too long. But bottom line is they didn't get the lead and they didn't get over the hump. And there's been plenty of road games where that's been the case this year for K-State. There's been home games where that's been the case for K-State. Only a select few of them happen at home because they usually are there and then go to overtime and then win. But I could see this team. No, I'm not saying if they get down 20, I don't think they're coming back. But if they have a 10-point deficit, maybe they can make that classic late-game run that they seem to be doing all year and then lose by 7.
Yeah.
I don't foresee any circumstance where they actually do win. But, again, I don't say never.
One of the things that's different about this game so late in the season compared to the second time KU and K-State play in years where the return game is in Lawrence. One, it's not usually KU senior night.
Mm-hmm.
Two, so that's the bad news for K-State. The good news is, usually when it's a return game in Lawrence for K-State, the second time around, because last year it was the K-State-Manhattan game was second, if I remember correctly, and K-State certainly was going to make the tournament last year. Usually K-State is pretty much toast to where they're not going anywhere when they play KU in the return game. At least during the Bruce Weber era, they either were solidly in or they were pretty much, you know, in deep trouble and out of it. In this case, K-State does have a ton to play for. They've got to play as if their season is on the line. And if they don't, then they're not going to win. They have to play that way, and we'll see. You know, Tyler Perry played well the first time against Kansas in some crunch moments. DeJuan Harris, you know, has played very well defensively the last couple of weeks. That's an interesting matchup. Somebody told me the other day, he said, you give me Tyler Perry and K-State can have DeJuan Harris, and I think KU is a better team. And I stopped for a second, and before people overreact, because the first thought I think as a KU fan is that's insane. And I would say that is insane. Every year Harris has played for KU, except this year. Because I don't think it is insane to say that. Here's why. I'm not saying Tyler Perry is a better player than DeJuan Harris. He's a better scorer, that's for sure. DeJuan Harris is taller. DeJuan Harris is a pass-first point guard. DeJuan Harris is a better defender than Tyler Perry. DeJuan Harris is a better passer than Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry is a better shooter. Tyler Perry is more aggressive offensively. He is shorter. But when that person told me, they said, you know, I wish we had Tyler Perry and said DeJuan Harris. I'm like, DeJuan Harris was a big part of you winning a national championship a couple years ago. But if you really stop and think about it, for the way KU is constructed right now, that makes some sense. Because Kansas, Dickinson gets his 20, but Adams is not a prolific scorer. Harris is not a scorer. Furphy is, what, 18 and reclassified, and you can't count on him to score 15-20 every game. I mean, at times he can. Marco Jackson's not going to do that. Nicholas Timberlake's going to not do that. And if Kevin McCullough's not 100%, and right now he's struggling shooting the three, and he's rusty from there. He had 20 the other day. But if McCullough isn't 100% and can't score 20, the only guy on the team that can score 20 is who? Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah.
You make Tyler Perry a Jayhawk. Tyler Perry suddenly makes you better offensively. Now, does that hurt Kansas defensively? Yes. But for the way Kansas is built this year, they would have more firepower and be tougher to stop if Tyler Perry was on the team in place of DeJuan Harris. I think it does make some sense. It doesn't mean that I think Tyler Perry overall is a better player than DeJuan Harris. But I also think nobody's going to argue Tyler Perry is the better offensive player than DeJuan Harris.
No.
And I don't think anybody's going to argue DeJuan Harris is the better defender than Tyler Perry. And DeJuan Harris has accomplished more in his career, certainly, than Tyler Perry has. But DeJuan Harris isn't a guy that's going to usually score the game-winning bucket or have the ball in his hands looking to score to win, and that's what Tyler Perry is. He's kind of a knockoff of Marquise Noel a little bit from last year. That he wants that big shot. He's going to take it. Harris is looking to pass. It's a difference in styles. It's a difference in mentality and perspective, and so it is hard to compare guys. But in regards to the fit, if you would have said, well, I would want this guy over DeJuan Harris the last few years, I'd be like, you're insane. Stop it. But if you really take a step back and look at how KU's constructed, KU might be better off, this team, with maybe they're not quite as good defensively, but then have the firepower of having a Tyler Perry. And then you go, what would Tyler Perry do if he had, I mean, he don't have Hunter Dickinson on his team right now at K-State. Imagine having the big guy gets doubled in Tyler Perry and what he can do. And so it's kind of fun to dream about, I guess, if you think Tyler Perry would be better for KU than DeJuan Harris right now. I think immediately KU, staunch KU defenders of their program will immediately, and I'm sure Brian Haney would be one of the first ones to say, whoa. You know, DeJuan Harris is an unbelievable point guard. People get caught up in points too much. And I will say, he made the transfer, Abmus, whatever he pronounced his name, I won't say it incorrectly.
Asmus,
from Texas look horrible the last time they played. I mean, DeJuan Harris made that guy look horrible. And he's capable of doing that to people. And maybe he'll make Tyler Perry look horrible tonight, and people will be like, well, that was funny. Gershner said on the ticket that Perry might want it should be a Jayhawk instead of Harris. I wasn't saying that I truly believe it. I'm just saying that when that was brought up to me, I think this is the way we are in society, right? We hear something, we immediately react, knee-jerk reaction, and say, you're stupid, or that's insane, or what the hell are you talking about? But if you actually would just let the words that somebody says sink in, think about it for a little bit, and then you may say, get the hell out of here. There's no way. You're so wrong. Or you may go, yeah, you know what? I kind of see where you're coming from. And for me, I see where that person was coming from when they mentioned that. And they're a KU fan that said that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I do kind of get it based on the way this team is. Because they don't have, and I don't think anybody still, Brian Haney's alluded to this before. The voice of the Jayhawks on our show every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. He's brought this up a few times before, that you know, who's the alpha dog on this team? Ochai Agbaji kind of developed into that alpha dog when they won a national championship a couple years ago. And he said, Kevin McCullough, Brian was not fully convinced Kevin McCullough's that guy yet. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, he's been tremendous this year when healthy. But I agree. I don't see him in the same light as Agbaji, even though McCullough actually, I would argue, has a more versatile game offensively than Ochai. Ochai was more of a three-point shooter. He could drive it some. But I think of Ochai as a more athletic player, okay? And so, and by the way, people forget that Ochai Agbaji was not shooting the ball well going into the NCAA tournament, and then all of a sudden he got hot. And he got hot against Villanova in the Final Four, and Kansas won the national championship. But I think that is a question. Like, who's going to carry this team when they need buckets in the NCAA tournament? You know, a couple years ago, Christian Brown could come up with the bucket, Remy Martin off the bench. You had Jalen Wilson even that could make plays. David McCormick was crunched down the stretch in that national championship game. And obviously Agbaji. Kansas had multiple options, but they had at least a couple that you knew. That was option A, option B. With this team, outside of McCullough, who is their option to go to? I mean, you could say Dickinson, but Dickinson, you're going to have to throw it in. It's going to take some time.
My own type of deal. I'm going to do this.
He's not super athletic. No. You're not going to drop a play where he pops out and hits a three, more than likely. Okay, he's a set shooter from the perimeter. So the only guy, and we know it's not Harris, and it's not KJ Adams, and it's nobody off the bench, and it's not Johnny Furphy yet. So it's got to be McCullough. And if McCullough isn't 100% healthy or obviously can't even go in the tournament, then there is no alpha dog. And I think some people could argue that McCullough, is he necessarily an alpha dog yet? It's a good point.
Yeah.
Guess what? K-State has an alpha dog. I'm going to tell you right now, K-State has an alpha dog. Their alpha dog is Tyler Perry. From the standpoint of, you know, at the end of the game, who's going to have the ball in his hands and who's not afraid to take that shot. Just like Marquise Noel was the guy last year.
Yeah.
And you could say ball hog. You can say holds the ball too long, dribbles it. The ball doesn't move. It sticks. And you could say it's selfish. But, you know, and I get that. At the same time, I want a guy that wants that shot. I don't want five guys that are afraid to take the shot. I'd rather have a guy that's willing to take the shot than five guys pass, don't want it, because I don't think I'm going to win with five guys that don't want it.
Yeah. If KU had that on their team this year, that'd be obviously different, right? Like, that would be completely different than what DeJuan Harris is in that moment at that time, right?
Harris had lots of options offensively around him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Than he does, and obviously last year too.
But, for sure,
this year he just doesn't. He really doesn't have it, and he hasn't been the guy that's going to change his stripes and become a 15 to 20 point per game scorer. And that's okay, but it hurts them, I think, down the road, and it's hurt them this year. And I'm not trying to say Harris is at fault here. He is what he is, and you don't change a guy overnight. Just the way this team's constructed, with Arturo Morris being dismissed from the team, that was a killer. Uday transferring out, Kansas a little surprised by that, so they have no depth behind Dickinson, so there's no athletic guy to lob it up and throw to, except for probably KJ Adams. This team, to me, is not as athletic as they've been the last couple of years, and some people argue they weren't even that athletic the last couple of years. But DeJuan Harris, you know, when I say this, it's not that I'm blaming DeJuan Harris. I'm not. DeJuan Harris is the player he is. He just doesn't have the offensive juggernaut scoring options around him that made him so good the last couple of years. And his stats are fine. He started out a little slow. He's doing what he's supposed to do. There are still times where he's wide open. You're like, dear Lord, take the three, man. But that's just how he is.
Yeah, the sample size for DeJuan Harris at this level of basketball is there, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's,
he is what he is.
You've gotten enough to know who he is at KU, right?
Right.
Now, Tyler Perry's a little different because he's only been at this level for a year, not even a full year yet. There's a distinct difference in Tyler Perry and Marquise Noel, I think, but at what you're talking about with the alpha dog mentality of wanting the final shot, those two things are the same.
Yes.
Like, those two guys are the exact same in that moment, in that situation. Marquise Noel, I trust more in that situation if I'm not just relying on him to shoot the ball, right? Like, if I need something, like Tyler Perry showed that on Saturday, right? Like, he's trying to drive in the middle against the trees at 5 foot, whatever he is. Okay, he's 6 foot, but he's trying to go in into the trees and not knowing where he's going to go if he can't get the shot. Mm-hmm. Marquise Noel, the biggest difference that he had was when he went into the lane, he knew what he was doing with the ball. Whether he was going to take an off-balance shot, whether he was going to dish to Keontae, mm-hmm. or whoever he was going to pass it to, wherever he was going to go, he was looking. And he knew before he went to the – as he was going or before he went into the lane to try to make something happen, he usually knew. Sometimes I got aggravated because he'd never throw a two-handed pass when he got down there, and then he'd throw it out of reach or throw it out of bounds. That's something that Tyler Perry doesn't have. That's something I think DeJuan Harris does have. Mm-hmm. He goes in there, he knows where he's going to go with it. He's probably not going to score a lot, right. but he's going to facilitate and do a lot of different things. So there's some differences in the way all three of these guys would do. Listen, if you could get a Marquise Noel on this KU team right now,
oh wow,
that'd be unreal, right? Sure. Like that'd be a whole different thing.
Right.
And so, but you know, these are the two that are playing right now, Tyler Perry and DeJuan Harris. So I do like the dog mentality that Tyler Perry has. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that he's really just not a facilitator.
Yeah.
Like he's the dude that's going to go get you the points, and usually in the second half because he seems to not really play well in the first half.
Right.
But I do like that part of it, and I think a mentality like that would help KU, but I don't know if it makes the players around him better.
Right.
With the same mentality. If he has the same mentality at K-State right now, Tyler Perry, mm-hmm. does it make those guys around him better like DeJuan Harris does?
Right.
That would be my only pause on a trade like that, mm-hmm. of I'd rather have this guy over that guy.
So it's interesting perspective.
It is. Yeah. But yeah, last year, like Tyler Perry, nah. I'm good at KU.
KU.
Marquise Noel, I would take him on any team.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And he's actually a little shorter than Tyler Perry.
He is. You would lose something on defense, but you would gain on offense.
Absolutely.
KU, K-State tip-off, 8 o'clock tonight. Pregame at 7:30 on Z96.3. The Lake. So you think KU by 7? Is that your prediction?
Yeah, I'll say that in the end.
Give me a score. Let's have fun. Because one year I predicted the score exactly. That's why I do this.
Yeah, I'm going to go 72-65.
72-65 KU is what Dusty says. I'm going to say 69-64 KU. That's my pick. So there you have it. KU by 5. You got KU by 7. We'll see what happens tomorrow. If we get the exact right score, as I did years ago and never have since, everybody gets a free taco across the country. I don't know. That was just some promotion they did. Baseball, you steal a base, you steal a taco.
Steal a base,
remember that?
Steal a taco. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a cool deal.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State hosts Texas Tech. Oklahoma welcomes Cincinnati to town. Both those games at 7 o'clock tonight. Chiefs officially placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on cornerback Legarius Sneed. The non-exclusive designation allows Sneed to talk to other teams and possibly work out a trade. With league approval, a new contract could be worked out as part of a trade prior to the start of the new league year next Wednesday. If Sneed were to actually play on the non-exclusive tag, his salary would be guaranteed at $19.8 million. $19.8 million. Sneed last year allowed 0 touchdowns and 90 targets during the regular season. He allowed just 48% completion percentage, including the playoffs, the lowest in the NFL among players with 8 or more targets in 2023. So his numbers certainly merit him getting a big-time deal. I thought this is funny. Zach Eisen puts out here, the Ravens have used 3 first-round picks on wide receivers since 2019. Kent Swanson says the Chiefs have used Jostens 3 times since 2019. I thought that was pretty fun for the rings and everything else.
Man.
Hey, according to Twitter here, Lady Red Volleyball / Basketball Smith Center, big birthday shout-out to the leader of the tribe, head coach Nick Lynn's birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. And I think he should kiss a pig to celebrate. I think he kissed a pig. I left when he was out there. It looked like he was the next guy to kiss a pig. There was another adult that had to kiss a pig on senior night at Smith Center. I'm not talking about ugly people. No, I'm talking about an actual pig, okay? And by the way, if you call ugly people pigs, you're a mean person. But the actual pig, I'm like, yuck. I know where that pig snout's been. No.
No.
Crazy.
Not in on that at all.
Does anybody else get grossed out when you see somebody with their dog and that they let and the dog licks the owner in the face, and the owner just, I'm talking owner as an adult, a person.
Uh-huh.
I mean, does anybody else get uncomfortable seeing that? Like, I know it's great, you love your dog and all, but I know what dogs do when they clean themselves up.
I really don't want the dog licking my face. Really, any part of my body, but not my face. And yet there's a there's some owners who's like, oh, I love you too. Ew.
I'm just not a fan of any animals, cats, dogs. You know, sometimes you get too close to a cow, like on the farm too, like all that slobber that's getting on you. And it's like, I'm not...
You're getting a little too close, my man.
No, I mean, it's just like, you know, they shake their head or something if they're angry or something it gets on you. And it's just like, I'm not a fan of any of that stuff. There's a dog that I hang around sometimes. It's got a lot of
drool.
A lot of drool, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'll pet you. I'll do whatever you want. I'll have fun with you. Don't lick me or get saliva on me or anything like that. I'm not a fan of that. So I get what you're saying. It doesn't bother me seeing other people do it if I know that's just what they regularly do. So you make the decision for yourself on that. But as in general for myself, I don't want dogs licking my face like that or anything like they do for some of their owners, right?
Yes.
No, I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah. No, I'm passing too. When I was growing up out in Western Kansas, when times got a little bit tough, we started milking cows.
Yeah. And, I think that's like when I was bottle feeding too. Like, mm-hmm. I think I probably got some stray saliva on a calf from that.
Saliva was the least of my concerns. Yeah. When we were milking cows, you know, when they had to do number two and they just plopped it out on the concrete in the stalls and it
that
splattered all
too.
Over the walls and it would splatter on you. You know, when it was nice and, you know, liquidy, that was the best.
Yeah.
I say that with, no, it's not. And you're just like, oh my! But you got used to it, and you got used to the smell. But it would splatter all over you, and I mean, there's still the walls out on the farm that got dried crap and literal crap.
Yeah, oh yeah,
that's on
sure.
the walls that splattered that we weren't going to scrub off. Who cares? It's inside the barn.
Yeah, throw them inside. Yeah, you throw them inside the corral there too, then you put them inside the shed or barn or whatever you've got to work them to, and then everything gets around everywhere, and it's like, I think it's like you're in proximity to that stuff, some stuff you don't like is going to happen probably.
See, now all this stuff we're talking about is gross and everything, and I don't like, you know, the drill part, the slobber part that you talked about, whether it's a cow, a dog, a cat, whatever the case may be, or the poop hitting the fan as it did milking cows and this and that. But all of that to me is tame compared to somebody's puke. Just going to say it. I am a wimp and a wuss, and whenever my kids get sick, it is not daddy that's taking care of the kids in regards to, oh, puked on the sheets, I guess I'll clean that up. No. Oh, didn't make it to the toilet in time, puked all over the floor, guess who's cleaning that up? It ain't me, because I am a wimp. And I think moms have something in their DNA that allows them to somehow block out the smell of vomit just enough to where us men don't have that molecule in our bodies. And there's no way that we can possibly do it. And the women will say, that's a bunch of cow manure. But I'm telling you, as soon as I smell that smell, I start to gag as if I'm going to do the same thing. So
yeah,
I digress. I am not doing that. So the slobber, the dogs licking people, whatever, cow poop splattering on walls, that's not nearly as bad to me as your kid's puke, or anybody's puke for that matter, and especially if you have to clean it up as an adult, parent, whatever. One time this show's went down the crapper in a hurry, but I was in church one time when I was younger, and I got sick in church, and I puked in church into the pew in front of me. Now, luckily, nobody was sitting in front of us. I don't know how old I was, and I was feeling horrible. I puked, and I go to the church bathroom, you know, and I don't know who was trying to take care of me. I think I just went. I might be old enough I could at least do that. I know. Well, first of all, I didn't care what anybody in church thought. I felt horrible, so yeah. I puked. But I know my mom had to clean it up or help clean it up or whatever. Nope. I'm not doing it. Years later, I am not paying that part forward. No siree, Bobby Cakes. That is why I married my wife. So she could have children of ours. God bless her having the kids. Us guys have the easy part in that whole equation, and the women have to have the baby, and then they got to clean up the puke. So, God bless women. God bless women. I've said this all along. They are the toughest gender They are. They're way tougher than people give them credit for. There's no doubt about that. And I have to put up with us Yahoo men. You know, all the things and dumb things that we do.
Yeah.
You know what I think would be fun? Jumping off the roof into a pool. What the heck are you thinking? Oh, that's right. You weren't. I'll take care of the kids while you break your leg jumping off the roof into the pool. That'll be great. You're on your own. I'll clean up the puke inside while you're doing that. Okay. Eagles center Jason Kelce gave a tearful goodbye as he announced his retirement from the NFL after 13 seasons. Kelce played his entire career with the Eagles, 7 Pro Bowls, 6-time all-team, all-pro first team, including his past season, 6 playoff appearances, 2 Super Bowl trips, and 1 championship over the past 7 seasons. He had, man, his press conference was a tearjerker. It was really, really good. And after just 2 seasons, the Broncos are cutting bait with quarterback Russell Wilson. The Broncos went 11-19 in Wilson starts over the past 2 seasons and failed to make the playoffs. He was given a 5-year, $242 million deal. But what's crazy, according to some reports, that hasn't even kicked in yet. His first 2 years with the Broncos was on his existing deal. So his 5-year was kicking in this year. So the Broncos are eating $39 million, but they avoid the $37 million guaranteed that would trigger for 2025. It's the highest known dead money hit for any team all time. Wilson hit the free agent market, and Jared Stidham is the only quarterback on the Broncos roster right now that started a game in the NFL. Here's what the Broncos gave up for Russell Wilson. We said it at the time. What are the Broncos doing?
Yeah, this was not.
He was a declining.
This is not a hard outcome to predict.
The fact that the Seahawks.
Maybe not this bad as far as his record, but.
The fact that the Seahawks are willing to walk away from what the Broncos claim is still a franchise quarterback should have given you a red flag. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this. The Broncos gave up a first round, 2 first round picks, 2 second round picks, a 5th, plus 3 players and a 4th to get Russell Wilson. Then gave him a $242 million extension that's going to kick in next year.
Yeah.
And what they got in return, back-to-back losing seasons, 2 years of Russell Wilson, $85 million in dead cap. General manager George Patton also swung and missed. He hired head coach Nathaniel Hackett, who lasted 1 season. Meanwhile, coaches like Mike McDaniel, Brian Daboll were out there sitting on the market and were hired by other teams after Denver hired Hackett. And yet that GM apparently has still survived all those horrible decisions. That usually is a fireable offense or offenses. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of Broncos.
Yeah. I'm not going to be shedding a tear at all at any point in the near future. It was a bad trade when it happened.
It was a bad deal
to add on top of it.
We were stunned that they were doing
the trade, but the deal was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not going to trade that much away, though. If you're not expecting him to actually be your guy, and obviously you're going to try to extend him if you think he is your guy, but it's just like, I think y'all made the wrong decision. This is not I don't think for much of anybody, this is a hindsight 2020 deal. This is a, what are you doing, man? Like, as it happened. So, yeah, it's,
can you think?
I cannot imagine, like the cap hit that the Falcons took for Matt Ryan and the Packers took for Aaron Rodgers is not even equal to one. It's like still $2.5 million more, the dead cap hit that they're going to take on this. That is insanity.
It is.
To cut a dude and just be like, whoa, whatever.
$85 million dead cap money.
That's definitely handicapping your GM on forming a team. So now that they got it, they apparently can finagle some of that and move a bulk of it to one season instead of having it all combined over 2, like the same amount.
Worst trade in NFL history?
It's
gotta
be up
there, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't have them all in front of me. I'm sure there's probably been one worse, but
it's hard to come up with one.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have happened to a nicer group of people that play against the Chiefs in the division. I mean, the only way it would be better is if it was the Raiders, but the Raiders are incompetent all this time anyway.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it actually makes it sweeter that the Broncos did this.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Exactly.
I mean, just that was awesome.
Raiders got their own problems.
Terrific. So yeah. Terrific 2-year run. Let's ride, Bronco country. Let's ride. Russell Wilson, let's ride and take my money and go be a backup somewhere or be the stopgap measure. I don't know where Russell's going to land. Some people said be a backup in Tennessee. Go to Atlanta, go to the Steelers. And the Steelers, you know, that would make a little bit of sense. He might be an upgrade over what they've got. And they've got a decent defense, obviously. So maybe that's the fit. Somebody's been saying that's where he's going, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Work with Mike Tomlin. Yeah, I don't know. What a weird situation that all was at the end, too, with Russell Wilson, about how they didn't want him to get hurt because of the whole thing. It was all messed
up.
And how some of the higher-ups in Denver still have jobs is beyond me. But, hey, I'm okay with it. Keep them in place. Don't fire them. They're doing a great job. A bang-up job in Denver.
Fine with me. I wish they would have never got rid of their old coaches and Sean Payton.
I wish they would have kept Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
Hackett was
Vic
so
Fangio
good.
Vic Fangio would have been fine, too. You know, any of those guys.
Nathaniel Hackett was so good at clock management. The new top 25 college men's basketball poll is out. Houston's number one. KU will be at Houston Saturday. UConn jumps to two. Purdue's three. Tennessee four. Arizona five. Iowa State now up to number six. North Carolina 7, Marquette 8, Duke 9, Creighton is in the top 10 at 10, Baylor 11, Illinois 12, Auburn 13, Kansas is 14, Kentucky is 15, and no other Big 12 teams are in the top 25 with the exception of BYU. They come in at number 20 after being out of the poll, but then beat Kansas. That helped get them back in. Kansas at 14, they were the preseason number one. We joked about it at the time, it's a kiss of death because Carolina didn't even make the tournament last year and they were preseason number one. Now Kansas will make the tournament. They've got the number one net, if you noticed that, which how could they not? Think of all the games they played in the non-con and the wins they have too.
But yeah, that thing's always high. Every year for KU, they're high in that.
But they're riding the coattails of their non-con, really, for the
for
most
sure,
part.
Yeah.
So Kansas is the first time they've been ranked outside the top 10 in 55 weeks. Okay, and that goes back to the midway of the 2021 season. And you say, wait a minute, that's 3 years ago. Well, we're talking about the weeks they actually have the polls and so forth and so on. 55 straight weeks, Kansas was not in the top 25, the top 10. They never fell at top 10 in 55 polls until the one that came out yesterday. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
Wonder how they're always getting a one seed because they're always in the top 10. That helps. But now they're number 14. So, and people are like, well, they're not a three seed. Listen, their resume, I think Kansas would have to completely collapse down the stretch not to be a three. And I think the way they're playing, there's no way they're a three. But if you base it off your body of work and your resume, Kansas is deserving of a three. I could make a case they could be a 4-2, a three or a four. Kansas will be no worse than a four. And by the way, why is this somewhat important? Bill Self has never been worse than a four at the University of Kansas.
Yeah.
Never. The worst he's been is a four. If they struggle here down the stretch, maybe they slide to a four. A lot of people say they're rock solid at a three because of how tough their schedule has been this year. They got wins against Tennessee, who's number four. They beat UConn, who's number two. They beat Houston, number one. Kansas has beaten three of the top four teams in the country. They played Marquette. They lost to them. They did lose to number six, Iowa State. They've beaten Baylor. And they've lost to Baylor. They're number 11. I mean, KU's resume is light years above a lot of teams, including K-State's, because K-State's non-con was so not so good.
K-State beat KU. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And Baylor, I guess. But
yeah, that's their two big wins so far, or unless we forgot one. So there you have it. All right, we'll preview state basketball more in-depthly tomorrow. This has been the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.